Now turn your Bible with me quickly. You know, in the book of Revelation chapter 1, when John the Beloved was encountered by Jesus on the Isle of Patmos, Jesus reintroduced himself to the great apostle in a strange way. The introduction that Jesus brought to John was not an introduction that you could understand from the perspective of time. In Revelation chapter 1, I'd like you to turn with me. Please, today, the Holy Ghost will come in a strange way tonight. There were several times in the scripture where the Bible was careful to reveal to us the way the Holy Ghost came. Amen. When Jesus went for baptism in the Jordan River, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit descended like a dove. That was a metaphor that was used to describe the way he came. He came gently. Are you with me now? He came how? He can come quietly. He can also leave gently and leave you in the motion. In the book of Acts of the Apostles chapter 2, the Bible says he came violently like a rushing mighty wind. The rushing mighty wind is a metaphor that was used to describe the way he came. He can come violently, shake you off your seat, and he can also come gently. I don't know how he will come to you today, but he will come. Even your unbelief can't stop that. I say he will come. He will come. And so on the Isle of Patmos, John encountered a personality that he thought he knew. Jesus was speaking. And he spoke something that could not be captured in time. John chapter 1, turn with me in your Bible. I salute you and I welcome you in Jesus' mighty name. Verse 17 says, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. Somebody say, fear not. I am the first and the last. Jump again, verse 8 now. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Now, it's needful for you to know, as I've always said, that in the original text, there is no and. So when it reads, I am Alpha and Omega, actually, it what is in the original text is, I am Alpha, Omega. I am beginning, ending. I am first, last. That's not a situation or a perspective that you can capture in time. Because time separates beginnings from endings. Time separates A from Z. Time separates first from last. But he was speaking about a perpetual continuum. A spiritual reality is a perpetual continuum. It doesn't have a beginning. Neither can it be factored by an ending. It is sustained within the framework of an eternal now. Somebody say an eternal now. When God opens the realm of the spirit to you and you begin to see an event in that realm, you cannot date it because it's not a time-based activity or revelation, it is a reality-based revelation. You can have that revelation on Monday, and mommy can have the same revelation on Friday. And then we come together for a meeting on Saturday, and I'm speaking about it on Saturday, that I saw it on Saturday morning. And then you say, no, it is a perpetual continuum. Many times when you study your Bible and you read that, thus saith the Lord, it is not past. He's still saying it. It's quite difficult to use your mind to comprehend these things. And that's why God must help us today to go beyond our minds. There is an eternal reality that is sustained in the heavens. And wise men of old that found favor with God made contact with it, and that reality changed them into a different kind of being. Time and space did not have so much authority where reality is. Alpha Omega. I am first, last. Many times when you begin to pray and you begin to walk with the Holy Spirit, several times He becomes pleased to show you things that are in the future. You call it future, but it's a reality. It's a reality. Now, so come with me. Because in the book of 1 Corinthians, where we took as our text from the beginning of this conference, there's a part of it that I need to show you, so that we can understand why Christians are no longer growing. We can understand why people speak in tongues and yet they are not growing in God. We can understand the yardstick and the rule by which our spiritual lives can be measured over time. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's go on. Yesterday we established that the Spirit is reality. The Spirit is reality. And we defined a spiritual thing to be a reality that is in the realm of a spirit being. Now, when you touch the Spirit, there are several things that are of the Spirit. Those are the things of the Spirit. And the Spirit of God begins to reveal to you the things of God. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Now, okay, you don't understand. Come. Let's go gradually. We'll do this for 20 minutes. So please pay attention. When somebody walks into the hall with a high heel right now, all right? High heel. Please don't be distracted. Hold your breath and keep yourself focused in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now watch this. Can you come with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 quickly? Quickly. All right. Verse 9 says, but as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now, the Bible called it the things of God in verse 11. And the Bible called it the things of the Spirit of God. So the things of God are the things of the Spirit of God. He's just trying to make you understand that God's things are spirit things, are spiritual things. And the custodian of God's things is the Holy Spirit, that is the reality. Are you with me? Because we need to, in this service, we need to pick some things, some of God's things. Are you here? I say, are you with me? We need to pick them. Because if I ask you, name a spiritual thing. Name one spiritual thing. You see, it's not a thing of the mind. That's why your mind will struggle for a while. But the scriptures reveals it to us. And all of those things are the things of the Spirit. And all of those things can only be revealed by the Spirit. Can you see? They are God's things, but they are revealed by the Spirit. You are brought into their reality by the Spirit. Everything that is of God can be obtainable, accessible in the Spirit. And so if you are seeking God, you're actually seeking the Spirit, because His things are contained in the Spirit. Did you get it to that point? Now, verse 14 is my emphasis. Because God's things are the things of the Spirit of God, they are in the Spirit and can only be revealed by the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 began to reveal to us several kinds of people that cannot receive the things of God. Now, in verse 14, the Bible says, but a natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now we have a problem. Now this scripture is a problem right now, because we need to look at it critically. First of all, a natural man is disqualified from the possibility of receiving the things of the Spirit. You see, the problem about these things is that they are things of the Spirit. If they were natural, physical things, the survival of the fittest would have been the order of the day. But that doesn't apply, because they are what? Things of the Spirit. And on the account of that, natural men are disqualified access. Who is a natural man? The Christian that gives his life to Christ is quite a complicated personality. Just in case you are here and you have given your life to Christ and Christ lives in you, you are a complex thing. Why? Because you can live your life on three levels. Actually, there are three lives at work in you simultaneously. Three lives. And these three lives are situated in three faculties of your universe. The three different faculties of your universe are controlled, actually have some form of life in them, which are not the same. If you have given your life to Christ, the Holy Spirit dwells in your spirit. He lives there. He functions from your spirit. But you see, we need to understand the scenario in the Garden of Eden. Adam was not born again. Adam was not righteous. Adam was just innocent. Adam did not have the life of God. Adam had the life of man. Now, if you are careful in your Bible study, you will find out that God's intention for man was not that man will be in man's image. God's intention was that man will be in God's image. That God will be the reference to man. You understand? When you are defining man, you will be defining him as an entity. From what standpoint? The reference point for man will be God, because man was created in the image of God. Did you get you to that point now? But you see, the man that was in Eden was not such a man, because that man did not have the life of God operational on his inside. He had human life. Somebody say human life. I can't hear you. Somebody say human life. Now there's something about human life. The proof of life is that there is a consciousness. If you have the life of God, you can become conscious to the things of God. The possibility, the only possibility revealed in Scripture by which we can know God is through the life of God. Because the life of God brings us and brings to us and imparts in us and makes available to us a consciousness of God. Other than the life of God, you cannot be conscious of God. You get that? Now, so the proof of life is a consciousness. So when we study the Adam of Eden, we'll see the consciousness that Adam had on the account of the human life that he possessed. When the devil came to tempt Adam, I'd like us to study the reaction that took place in the temptation of Adam. The Bible said that Adam saw that the fruit was good for food. The Bible says that Adam knew that it was desire to make one wise. The Bible says Adam saw that it was good to the eyes. If you check his consciousness, you will see that his consciousness did not reveal the consciousness of God, but the consciousness of him. This kind of food is good to the eyes. Me. This one can make one wise. Me. This one is good for food. Me. The consciousness that a human life gives is self-consciousness. A natural man is a self-conscious man. The template from whence he judges things is self-consciousness. Oh my God. Are you still with me now? There are several different dimensions of this self-consciousness. You can be born again and you are living your life from the template of self-consciousness. The Bible says that such a man cannot. I would have been more comfortable if the Bible had used the word may not. That would have been polite. Oh my God. Cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Different kinds of self-consciousness, so that we will not need to struggle with a game of words. We don't intend this night to get lost in talking, but we trust that God will bring us to a pedestal where you will transit from yourself and you will see him exalted high above everything and everyone. And at that point, when the gradient is fully established, you can receive that which is of him in the name of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 16. Quickly, let's talk about a natural man for a moment. He cannot receive the things of God. Hallelujah. Matthew 16. In Matthew chapter 16, verse number 21, the Bible says, from that time forth, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed and be raised again from the dead the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be done unto thee. Please, let us be very sensitive to Jesus' answer to this man. He said, but he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but that those that be of men. Now, I need us to analyze this. He said, get thee behind, Satan. Complex scripture, so technical scripture. So let's go step by step. Now, what did Peter do? Jesus had already told them about the fact that in his kingdom they were going to sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Hallelujah. And it happens to be that even though you are destined to be a king, it's only when you are alive that you can ascend the throne. Peter's perspective was that let yesterday's kings die so that today's kings can live. See, man, he spoke of a kingdom. That means you need to be alive, because all our hopes will find full expression when you mount the throne. I don't think Peter was. But you see, the only thing wrong with his perspective was that it was born out of a desire of the natural man. Now, if I had time today, I would have shown you some things, but it will change the focus of our message. Are you still here? To change the focus, I would have shown you the four symptoms of the natural man, but that will change the whole. Will not land where we want to land. Now, please let us study Peter's comment. Can we study it? And then find what manifestation of the natural man is factored into that scripture. Can we study now? He said, "This shall not be. Let it be far from you." Did you get it? The perspective of the natural man that was revealed by Peter in that statement was the intention of the natural man for self-preservation. Didn't get that? Have you ever taken a fast before, and while you were fasting, suddenly something tells you that there's orange juice in the fridge? Is it only me it happens to? That's the voice of the flesh. That's the voice of self. Under the peculiar mode of self-preservation. What that voice is saying is that, don't be too hard on yourself. At least take orange juice. Do you get it? I'm revealing it to you so that you will know how to. Jesus violently attacked it, because when Peter sustained that mode of self-preservation, he became one with Satan. You don't get it? He became one with Satan such that when Jesus rebuked Peter, he was rebuking Satan, and when he rebuked Satan, he was rebuking Peter. I would like you to understand that that mode of a natural man disqualifies you from. Jesus said, "Thou art not concerned about the things of God in this mode. You are only concerned about the things of men." And Peter's crime was that he yielded to a desire for self-preservation. Do you realize that if you don't go beyond yourself, your sacrifice will not be accepted to God? Many of you come to service and worship is going on, and you want to maintain your comportment, the configuration of your lipstick. I don't want to. There's a delicate balance, my. Oh, yeah, man. You see, you are lost. If truly you will go the way of the Spirit, you always go beyond of self-preservation. I found out that if some sisters were ugly, they would have served God more. But beauty is a problem. They can't manage it. See, it's a burden. Because if you are going to touch God, you will go beyond self-preservation. You will become vulnerable. People will speak about you. People will insult you. People will say you are a Jew. And if you are trying to maintain your comportment so that people will not behold you in a wrong light, you are actually yielding to self-preservation. And at that point in time, you are no longer synchronizing with the clarion call of the Spirit that is calling you to go beyond that platform. In yielding to self-preservation, you actually are yielding to the perspective of the enemy, so that you don't keep pace with the Holy Spirit and you become one with Him. Somebody came and met me, said, Pastor, I will not come here again. I said, okay, what happened? Did I offend? He said, no. You are a good man. He said, somebody accused me and said, now you are assistant pastor. That is, they accused him. And said, he was assistant pastor here now. And they laughed. So he came and said, Kai! Hey! So he took a posture. It was more important for him to preserve. It was as if he couldn't bear it. So he said, sorry. Sorry, no problem. Okay. So I pray for him and release him in the name of Jesus. I say, you will possess the gate of your enemies. You know, the scriptures are many. You can quote. Hallelujah. But such a man that is conscious of preserving himself cannot receive the things of the Spirit. If you are going to receive the things of the Spirit, you are going to go beyond that mode. Do you get it? That's a natural man. You allow self-centeredness and self-consciousness to become the operating system that drives your life. You don't allow the promptings and the leadings of the Holy Spirit to become what determines what you do, but is what will preserve yourself and your comportment that is more highly prized in your sight. Such a man cannot receive the things of God. Hallelujah. Number two, we have another character of self that we need to identify. I don't have time to go through scripture. Amen. There's something we call self-indulgence. Anything you do that gives gratification to. Now, if you check the way the average believer talks, there are some things you say actually that are not relevant. But the reason why they say the things they say it is so that they will be satisfied. Somebody came to me and said, this person, you know, I've noticed that he's a bad person. You know, this person is bad though. But he said, his prayer, I came to tell you so that we'll pray about it. That's a person that is bad. That one, you mark that person. That's a bad person. If you really love that person, you will be praying, doing that in your closet without having to talk about it. But the person just had to talk. Maybe so that. Watch it. Say, the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit. I don't want to press further. There are other things that we do for self-defense. Self-defense. I think self-defense is the trespass that we commit on that particular front. Logically looks right. Jesus was confronted by the rulers of the temple and they requested him to pay temple tax. Meanwhile, if you are an originally born Jew, you are exempted from temple tax payment. Then Jesus now asks the apostles, is it not strangers and proselytes that come to worship that are expected to pay temple tax? Are we that have sons born in this land, are we not exempted? They accepted. They say, we know this custom. Jesus had a right. Do you understand? He would have fought for his right and say, Luther. But what was Jesus' perspective? He said, lest we offend them. Jesus was concerned about them, not about the law that they were trying to enforce. Say, I don't want to offend them. So Peter, I remember you still understand your trade. Your right hand is still good for fishing. Go now, take a hook and get some fish out. Get the best fish you draw out. A gold coin is there. And Jesus said, lest we offend them. He didn't defend himself by the statutory law. Many times people come and accuse you. Can you keep quiet? Just keep quiet. And allow God to defend you. Hallelujah. Many people say that I use stamp. My fellow pastors in this town, they say, I use charm, that they know my village. Hey, how many times have I even gone to my village? Like 3 times or so in my life. But they say, they know my village. Me, I don't know the place. If you say, let's go now, I can't take you there. I don't know the village, but they say they know. But you can keep quiet. Especially if it's not the person that called you. You can just be free. Because I tell you, in this journey, many things will kill you. Do you understand? Many arrows will be shot at you. If you spend your days trying to defend yourself, it's a ministry on its own. Self-defense. Stop, if not now. I told you about a fellowship I was attending, and somebody came and prophesied that he saw in the visions of God. He pointed the lady in the choir and said, she's pregnant for me by God. God said it. When I went to pray, I said, God, allow me kill just for once. Let me kill once. I heard killing is a sin. Let me kill once. What? Hallelujah. Let me kill. The Lord said to me that if you fight, your wilderness journey will be extended. I died, my brother. And every day I saw the guy, if I see him, high blood pressure. After 2 weeks of high blood pressure, I went to pray, and God said, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. That was where I learned the formula of discharging weights on the heart. Until the time came, if I see him, no more high blood pressure. And he promoted me in the spirit. Few years later, he was the one that impregnated somebody in the choir and ran away. And he didn't allow people to kill him. But we'll stop there in the name of Jesus. I won't continue. Self defense. These are subtle things that people build into their lives. If you live that way, you have decided to be living naturally. Your husband comes and accuses you of something, smile. If you smile and there's high blood pressure, don't worry. Go back. Until that is level of... His insults can no longer influence you again. Because you have decided not to defend yourself. And God has seen you in that state of accuracy. And he fills you with reality. Reality that is superior to the evil that is being shot at you. That is when you will see the scripture come true. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Every kind of evil can be overcome. Jesus said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Anytime you take the mode of self, you become one with Satan. Because the mode of self actually draws upon your human life. It means you have decided that me, I want to be human. And if you decide to be human, you are not within the context of God's description of a man. Because a man by God's description must take his reference from God. You understand that now? Oh my God, you are not here. That's the way men operate. That's the way the natural man without God operates. Self-defense, is self-centered, is self-seeking, is looking for self-indulgence. But the spiritual man has a different form of consciousness. He's God conscious. And the more you begin to walk with God, he begins to reduce your propensity of self-consciousness. And there's a replacement with God consciousness. And a time comes when you prosper in your relationship with God to a level that you don't find any need to defend yourself sometimes. And when you are fasting and doing some spiritual things and the devil comes and suggests that there's yogurt, you turn him down because you are a spiritual man. Your desire for God is more than your desire to preserve yourself. So you go beyond yourself. Many times like that, I've continued like for 3 days. Just 3 days. I did not plan to fast. But you see, one thing comes, another thing comes, another thing comes, and then for 3 days you'll find that you have not eaten. And by the time you go the second day, your whole body that was crying, we are lying. Please help me tell your neighbor, hunger is a feeling. If you start pressing into God, even the voice of hunger. Now, so a spiritual man is desirous of spiritual things enough for him to go beyond the level of self. And when you go beyond the level of self, it's as if you become vulnerable. Because your mind can understand you when you are within the encasement of self. Do you get that? And the reason why the average believer doesn't want to go beyond self, because if you go beyond self, the regions beyond that border are unpredictable. Your mind can no longer be in charge. You can no longer be logical. You can only trust that the guiding spirit will guide you into all reality. It's a place, it's a path that you can no longer be in control of. That's why the average believer is afraid of the outcome of a possibility of existing without being in charge of every item on the agenda. When you find such a person, don't force the person, because the person doesn't trust God yet. It's when you begin to experience God and you know he's trustworthy, that you can mount up with wings, leap upon the spirit and allow him carry you. See, the spirit life is easy, but what makes it hard is that you will go beyond self and you have to trust God to go that far. Trust, I've said it, is simultaneously the source of your greatest strength and weakness. Because if you trust the wrong thing, your greatest weakness will be manifested. Your fears will find expression. If you trust the right thing, your faith and its attendant potentials will be on display. So the natural man finds it difficult to trust. And the Bible knows that we will find it difficult to trust God. And so God gave us his credentials. That God is not a man that what? He should lie. That means men lie. Men. They do what? Many of us trying to perceive God from our understanding of men. The insufficiencies, the incapacities. And then God now said, I am not a man that I should lie. All those things, God didn't need to say all those kind of stuff. But he said it just to help us know the kind of person that we are surrendering to. Because we are not surrendering to tyranny. We are surrendering to kindness, love, and great compassion. And he knows that in the flesh you attain to your least potential, so he wants to take you on a ride. But if you are going to go on that ride, you have to have faith sufficient to make you leave the box of the natural man and its attendant dimensions of self-preservation, and to leap upon a wind. At that point in time, your mind becomes unfruitful. Your heart begins to trust more than your mind thinks.
You can go to places that you have never known. See things that have never been told you. Learn things that you have not heard anywhere before. He said, call unto me and I will show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. If all that you are living with is the resources of that which you have learned and known, you are a small man in a big body. There's more to explore, but someone else will have to lead the way and guide you. The Bible says, how be it when the Spirit of truth is come. Leave the security that the self-centeredness promises you. It's a security that is not confirmed. And let's saw this evening. Leave your trouble. Let's saw this evening. Many people come to God because of their problems. That's a good reason to come. But that's not a good reason to keep coming. Because a time, if you need to saw, if your problems will be permanently solved, what God does is that He brings you into your purpose. Any man that is not brought into his purpose will be solving problems all his life. A man that has found his purpose is looking for people to solve their problems. Can you see that? It's not as if that man is isolated from problems. He has as much problems as the other person. He doesn't focus on self. So the problems don't have the authority to govern him. He focuses on God. And God governs him despite the problems. That is the definition of contentment. Tell your neighbor, sometimes God doesn't change the situation. It changes you. If only you can soar, go beyond the flesh. Somebody said, God, something said to me, declare now, rise up. See, if I see this thing and the person doesn't stand up, you are still in the cage of self-preservation. Your business about that. I left that realm long ago. I say it anyhow, and it's not my business whether it comes to pass or not. If you can't go beyond self, you cannot. You can't touch the things of God. Many times after meetings, I go out and brethren rush to me and say, you know that time you said this thing, I received it. But you know, there were self kept them in the cave. Self. Go beyond self and his attendant promises of security, and you will find that you can actually mount up. Have you ever used your wings before? By your blood, you destroy principality, Jesus. You see, Jesus. The Lord began to tell me some years ago how to flow in His presence. If I want to switch, He said, make worship your life. Why? Because when we worship, that's the time people go beyond themselves. That's why God's presence comes when people worship. That presence was always there, but it could not be activated because the people were full of. The easiest way to switch into the stream of reality is to just, I forget myself. I've lived for several days, several weeks before, out of the box of myself. I was not brooding on myself for days. And I found out that the realm of reality was a perpetual continuum. It was Alpha, Omega. It was an eternal now that I was gliding in. Did you get it? Now, what kind of man are you? Can you truly say you are a spiritual man? Somebody comes and begins to spoil somebody before you, and you hear it. I don't do that. I can hear God enough to know anybody I want to know. Do you understand? I don't need your testimony about a man. Jesus said, I don't care about human testimony, but there's one that testifies about me. God testifies about every man. All right? So I don't need your testimony. Do you understand what I'm talking about? I don't need it. I can walk without it. If God needs me to know somebody, He will reveal the person to me. And it's only God's testimony about the person that will be, that can be sure that is valid. Lest, okay, let me stop you. You will run into trouble if you hear people. Second thing I need to show you, Romans chapter 8, quickly. In Romans chapter 8, because Romans chapter 8 is a twin scripture of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it's a relative. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His Son, His own Son, in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, and the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For they that are in after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. Underline death. For to be carnally minded is death. A natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit, and it's not possible for him to know the things of the Spirit, because spiritual things are spiritually discerned. Do you get what I'm talking about? And the Bible says, number two, that a carnal mind, to be carnally minded is death. What does it mean when the Bible says carnally minded? When you see any time in the Bible when the scriptures talk about being carnally minded, it means accepting the suggestions of your senses as true. Accepting the suggestions of your senses as true. He said, whenever you accept the suggestions of your senses and you settle in the consciousness that your senses provides, you experience a separation from God. That death there is separation from God, not cessation of life. So a carnal man is separate from God. I went for a meeting and God spoke to me on the pulpit. He said, there's somebody that is dead now, but is standing in your midst. I said, oh my God. No one looks dead here. Now you see, God is speaking from His plane. I'm trying to judge the things God is saying from my plane. And as long as I remain in that plane, I'm separated from what God is saying. I'm on a different plane from what God is saying. So I decided, all right, I forget about what my senses are revealing. And I step into what God is saying. I say, yes, Lord, I believe that there's somebody here that is under the sentence of death. In fact, the person's spirit has been removed from his body. So I lifted up my right hand. I said, God, that person that is dead but is standing here, show us. And the power of God moved. What meeting was that? In Oju. The power of God moved and brought the lady out. She fell down under the power. I went there and God said, lay hands on her head and leave it there. I put my hands on her head and she began to vomit. Vomit or kaiso. You see, that was the process, the surgery. God was doing something and restoring life. But you see, it didn't look as if there was anybody that had that condition. From the standpoint of the eyes, what will you believe? You believe what you see with your senses. You settle in it. Even if the Holy Spirit brings a view that is different, you don't seem to be able to accept his perspective. That's why you remain on that plane. That's why you stay on that level. It's either that the believer is carnal or that is natural. And I assure you, a normal Christian is different from a consecrated Christian. A carnal Christian is different from a spiritual Christian. Just as east is as far from west. Please do not, maybe because your type is not popular, don't yield to carnality in the environment. Statistics reveals that for every 20 Christians you count, only one is a spiritual man. It is not just so today, it has been like that. Those spiritual people that have decided to live from that plane and with the resources of that realm, in the book of Revelation chapter 2, chapter 3, are the people that the Bible calls the overcomers. Those are the people that decide to align with God and to dance to the beat of his drummer. It is with those people that fight the battles of the entire church. Those people bear the testimony of Christ in generations where they find themselves, in families. And the purpose of Christ continues in the earth in the hands of those people, not in the hands of the multitude. And that's why it is always a remnant that carries the reality of God through the ages. It's always a remnant. Now I've finished the simple part. Let's talk about reality. How does it play out? Now the Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, through thanksgiving, make your request known to God. Now, what is what you are not seeing it? Say what? Don't be anxious. Say, just in case there's an issue that has brought anxiety, you mingle prayer and thanksgiving together, and you offer that sacrifice of prayer and of what? Thanksgiving, and keep offering it. Keep offering that sacrifice. Keep offering it. Prayer plus thanks. Prayer plus thanksgiving. Prayer plus thanksgiving. Prayer mingled with thanksgiving. Keep doing that until the throne responds and the peace of God that passes all understanding comes to overtake the anxiety. That anxiety is your humanity. That anxiety is your naturality. But the peace of God is reality. Can you see? If you keep doing that until reality comes, it means you have overtaken that circumstance. Oh, you are not with me. I'm showing you the way of the spiritual man. He knows that anytime fear comes, fear is a negative reality. There is a negative personality that comes with that perfume. And he knows that his life is not secure when the environment that he sustains and what he perceives is fear. So he decides to make a concoction of prayer, thanksgiving, prayer, thanksgiving, prayer, thanksgiving, until there's conviction. That's the truth. When you feel peace in your heart, that's reality. When you receive conviction in your spirit, that is reality. When suddenly you have an assurance about something that your mind cannot logically calculate to the conclusion, but there's an assurance, that's a reality. We live by convictions, by peace, by assurance, by knowings, by a voice, by signs, by symbols. That's how we live. That's the content of our spiritual life when we begin to interact with reality. That sign might be so small, like the cloud that appeared in the sky when Elijah prayed, but that was the only signal and the only thing that we saw that there is what? An abundance of rain about to come. It's so small. And that's why your journey in the spirit begins with you trusting God. Because the signal that he will give you that is actually a response to your sacrifice might be small. But if you know the realm of God, a small thing that you call small is a witness about an abundance of rain. How do you think people move in the healing and anointing? You think they felt the power that healed them? No, they receive a sign. And I saw you where you are seated. God has given you 1,000 signs before that you did not respond to. 1,000. Today is not for teaching. Today is for reality. What I'm talking about is real. I was praying in my room one day and suddenly I was overwhelmed with glory. A time came and for a season, anytime I pray, I'm overwhelmed. I pray, I'm overwhelmed. So I ask God, what is this thing? He said, I'm filling your vessel. After this season, your ministry will go to a new direction, new dimension. Now, let's forget about manifestations. Let's stay in the reality. It's the reality that is producing the manifestation. Now, there's a preacher. He normally calls me after every service. I say, how did it go? I say, I stopped discussing meetings long ago. Because the density of the move of God is not traced to manifestations as it is traced to how much of reality was captured. Many times you can be preaching and God opens the portals to a new realm to bring a visitation to your life. You are looking for manifestations and that's why you cannot enter into gates. Now, when you see that there's silence in the land, it means that some thrones have become dysfunctional. Those are realities. There are some people that if they die, it will take 35 years before fire will rise again in a particular land. So don't celebrate. Don't be happy that they died, because their death means sorrow. Jesus said, don't weep for me. Weep for yourselves. Weep for your children. This throne, if it is taken, you people will have many reasons, many more reasons to be afraid than to be in faith. Do you understand it? That man will rise in you today. That man that can stand up and the curse in the family can be broken. He will not come there with English and lingo and engineering. He comes there with reality. I've seen that there's a reality that came upon a young lad. He was a shepherd boy at the backside of the desert. But the reality that came upon him was a reality of kingship. That's why you know that every throne has an anointing. And until that anointing comes, the devil will fill the thrones with people that have been anointed by darkness. But I tell you, not for too long. 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 We dwell in a day where the heavens will answer to the earth. And very soon, princes will rise from the donkey. There was something David understood, that he could not kill Saul. He said, how can I strike the Lord's anointed? He understood reality. He knows that he can kill Saul, the man, but the anointing he cannot kill. And that anointing can fall upon another descendant of Saul, and a more dangerous trouble will arise. No need to kill the man. I'm sorry for the children of the bondwoman. They think they can kill the church. But when you pierce one, the anointing falls upon another. When you kill one, the anointing comes upon another. It is the spirit of Elijah. Something that cannot die. It is immortal. It is invincible. It is powerful. Rise up. Let's try tonight. Something will come upon your life. It will change your ranking. It will change your perspective. It will change your style. how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. He went about to healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. You cannot kill us. You cannot extinct us. You cannot cut us off. We are the descendants of the ancient of days. We cannot die because we have eternal life. We live forever. Sandabala. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his kingdom and peace there shall be no end. Kalebo Sandamala. Kaya salela. Forever. Kaya salela.
La 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 la
Exalt your heart, exalt him now. Make sure your heart gives him glory. Blessed be him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. Oh, King, live forever. Sakopala. Rejoice in the Lord. And again I say, rejoice. 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 Rejoice, rejoice. Let the high praises of the Lord be upon their lips and the two-edged sword in their hands. Rejoice, rejoice. For the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he has prevailed. He has prevailed.
La 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 la
is about to roar. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. I need to make an announcement tonight. For I see that the hosts of heaven are watching us today. There's an audience larger than this, the audience in this auditorium watching from heaven. Today, the heavens and the earth unite to give birth to the purpose of God in your life and in this land. You don't have to go back sick. You don't have to go back afflicted. The Spirit of truth is here. Now the hand of God is upon a few people. But let me announce the announcement of heaven. There's about to be a financial explosion. Listen to me. A financial explosion. There's coming a financial explosion. Many that be among us are about to be lifted up financially by terrible things and righteousness, by the finger of God, by the wisdom of God. There's a financial lifting coming. It's coming, it's coming. I tell you, coming strong. Somebody say, I receive it. Somebody say, I receive it. An explosion. You have had the burden of God upon your heart, but you have been restrained by finances. Weep not. Weep not. Weep not. Weep not. For the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he has prevailed. From today, you will see strange things will begin to happen. Can you pray on that word? Pray on it and make it yours. Pray on it and make it yours. Pray on that word and make it yours. Make it yours. Make it yours now. Make it yours, make it yours, make it yours. Make it yours, make it yours, make it yours. Don't be silent now. listen to me, listen to me. Listen to me. So many things happening at the same time. I cannot. I've lost the ability to be able to coordinate this service. Now, many things will happen simultaneously. First of all, God will be renewing the anointing of seven prophets. Secondly, there are some people that have demonic issues here. He will begin to deliver them. I can see three of them. Thirdly, there are four sick people in this hall. He will heal you instantly. Fourthly, there's somebody here. You have discovered that even though you are a student, the ability to concentrate and read has gone because a spirit of restlessness has begun to torment you. You are coming out now. You are coming out right now. Right now. Right now. Right now. Okay, Lord, what next? What next? Somebody on the legs will be healed on the legs. Yeah. All right. Let's call upon the name of the Lord for 5 minutes. And his power will start working. Now, listen to me. Listen. If any part of your body was removed, maybe by surgery, your womb was removed. Maybe something happened. A part of your body is missing. Listen to me. It will be created. I know you don't believe me, but it will be created this night. Hear me. You might be in this hall and you are a young lady and you have never seen your period before. Watch it. God will create something now. Magego igabalantomina kwasela. You will create something now. Can you stretch your hands here? It has nothing to do with me, but this is the instruction. Just stretch. Now, just pray in tongues lightly to take your heart off you so that you can lose consciousness of you. The Spirit of the Lord will testify Himself. You will need no man to teach you tonight. For that unction will be released upon you. Things will be created in people's bodies. Demons will go. Demons will go. Demons will go. I told you. Dobenatia. Dobena dakina skobe. Dogena datua satema. Daile sufa nekabo. Plante sope. Dila oprenda. All right. In Jesus' name. With your eyes closed and your hands lifted, I want to pray. Now, can you bring that young man? Why are you? Let him not be injured there. Demons will go. Things that have been removed from your body will be created back. They will be created back. They will be created back. They will be created back. Now, the hand of God is on three people here now. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Oh, his hand is coming now. He's coming now. Holy Ghost. Let the anointings of these seven people begin to experience renewal. It cannot die. Let there be renewal. Yes, 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 yes. Bring them for me. Bring them. Bring them for me. Bring them. Bring them. It's like a flood. It's like a flood. Every demonic activity that is in this auditorium, I cut it off. 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 In the name of Jesus. The breath of the Lord is coming stronger. It's coming stronger upon you. Kobene saliba. Every hold of the enemy will be removed. Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes, oh yes, oh yes. Kobete. Demonic activity will cease. The hand of God. Oh my God, oh my God. Somebody say, "Fill me, Lord." I can't hear you. Say, "Fill me, Lord. Fill me, Lord. Fill me, Lord." He is filling some people's vessels. He's filling them. He's filling them. He's filling them. He's filling them. He's filling them now. He's filling them. He's filling them. Oh my God. 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 Kobasile elebongo. Mekabanto sekabinata. Let there be a renewal of the oil. A renewal of the oil. A renewal of the anointed. Kobose namantale. Esko barandemi. Braila kabes putapuala. Badakom perene. Sika brake mantale. The lion of the tribe of Judah is about to roar. Koselaba, 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 kosela lembras keta kupakwa sa ebakendo bakama. Listen to me. Listen to me. Akabasakwa kalabalata. Asakwa. Asakwa palamantaya. I see in heaven. I see in heaven. The golden trumpet has been lifted up. Somebody in this service will prophesy this night. I'm predicting it that somebody will prophesy. Ha ha. Somebody will prophesy today. Every demonic activity. Etakabo. Balendo kumba. I command the hand of Satan to be broken, to be broken, to be broken, to go. Let it break. Every yoke upon you, break. Break. anything that was placed on you, I remove it in the name of Jesus Christ. Break. Your head to the soles of your feet, that limitation that has traveled with you here, I curse it. Break. 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 Now listen. Someone will prophesy here today. Because I've seen the golden trumpet. It's the reality that controls this realm. You don't even have a choice. If it's you, God has chosen. Close your mouth well to come out. Alright, lift your hands. Let me pray. When the reality of that prophecy hits you, your mouth will be seized. God will borrow it. Cabonis Alando. Kailabos Elebogodo. Mailes Obogodo Minas Cabriada Babalama. Now the anointing is coming. Wait, please. Now watch it. It's coming. It's an anointing of prophecy. The spirit of prophecy. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask that the anointing and the spirit of prophecy be released. As the golden trumpet has been sounded in the heavens, let there be a manifestation in the earth. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, bring that person for me. It's coming. Please don't be distracted. Please don't be distracted. 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 The grace is coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Mambale. Oh my Father. Oh my God. Mabegodine Braila Kapetoska. Lord, we thank you for the people that you are touching, but we are expecting the release of prophecy. That the spirit of prophecy might descend. Enkopa terminas Gabriela Bakanda. Mante sobre Eliga Basalaba. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Bring that young man for me. Bring him. Anywhere you are, say, I receive. I receive.
You cannot resist him. You can't resist him. You cannot resist him. You cannot resist him. You cannot resist. Bokebali nahai. Bokedabila basketai. And taborina skatabiada babala manahai. Bahelo, bahelo. Paskatem borina sketamina gran batale. Mahayeso kabala. Iparenda elabakaya masanda. Let it be stronger. 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 Let it be stronger now. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. You see, that is the spirit of prophecy that came upon this. Now you watch it now. You watch it. You watch it. Maope, you cannot resist that spirit. You can't. You cannot stop it. It's a reality beyond your control. Because the trumpet, the golden trumpet, has been blown in heaven, and the earth cannot resist that which is will in the realm of the spirit. Receive the Holy Ghost. Ampatebos ebregedebakada. Shabala, shabala, shabala. Many things have been released from the realm of the spirit. Receive it, receive it, receive it, receive it, receive it, receive it, receive it. Alamakotobon. Raina makatebari makasa. It's stronger than you. It is through that reality you were created. You cannot resist that reality. It's impossible. Mandabo. 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 Pakalebo semia. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now listen to me. If you are on this road, lift your hands up right now. I saw the light of God. Came down from heaven. And it came here. Holy Spirit of God, from my front to my back, let that light locate the one that it has been released for. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Let the oil begin to drop. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. It's coming now. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Ba'ura. Bakatebo. Bushakwana. You cannot resist it. You cannot resist it. Lord, your light has been focusing on this young man. There's a mission that you want him to accomplish. Let there be a release of spiritual power into his spirit. Enough power that will make him confront the gates of the enemy. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Now, can you explain why it's not touching anybody here? Why the reality is here? All right, let's move here now. Lord, in the name of Jesus, lift your hands and receive it. In the name of the Lord, I plead with you tonight. Many hearts are open. Many people cry. Let your hand begin to descend now. Oh my God. Oh my Father. Mahede, etobina gase mani baharai.
Sufratepota ena. Braila eveseni. Pulena cabros cafena.
Speak in tongues anywhere you are now. Something is ascending upon this ground. The Lord calls us to surrender absolutely to Him. The Lord calls us to stop fighting with Him, stop battling with Him. The Lord calls us to stop contending with Him. The Lord needs us to surrender to Him. For our time has come. The time to heal the land has come. Do not ignore the words of the Lord.
We yield to you, O Spirit of truth. Our contention with you ceases tonight. Be hallowed before our face. Be hallowed, O God, upon our hearts. We destroy every high place and every imagination that has contended with your Lordship. Tonight we come, we come, we come. Heal our land by all means. Heal our land. Deliver our people. May we never constitute a hindrance to that which is your intention. We call upon you. We call upon you tonight. We call upon you tonight. For you hate wickedness, injustice, oppression. Your way is the way of love, the way of everlasting kindness, the way of tender mercy. Lord, help us tonight and have mercy. Start with us afresh. Begin with us afresh. Begin with us afresh. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Do not crowd the Lord out with activities, with ambitions. If you make the Lord a part of your life will still crumble. But if you make him the center of your life, he will uphold it. Many people make the Lord a part of their lives. Your life will still crumble. It will be in need of intensive care. But when you make him the center, he upholds your life by the word of his power. As a congregation, can you lift up your hands? Can we all lift up our hands and say, Lord, we repent tonight. We repent tonight. We are full of ourselves and our ways. But we repent. Take your place in our hearts and heal our life. Now we realize that we are the cause of the affliction that has remained in the land. And so we say, forgive us, that you might find passage to heal our land. For it is written that if my people who are called by my name humble themselves, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Strengthen us. Cause your face to shine upon us. Lift your countenance over us. And grant us peace. The Lord is healing some people now. Put your hand anywhere you are sick. And if there is any part of you that was removed, it will be restored now. It will be restored. That person that is in this congregation, that is as though something has come to temper with your right mind, that sometimes you don't feel balanced in your mind, put your hand on your head. God will take away that affliction. A new day comes for you. A new day comes for you. A new day comes for you. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let me pray. Affliction is going to jump out of your body. Anything that God has not planted will be uprooted. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, in this hall, just in case there's a movement in your body, the thing will come out. Just in case you are losing perfect vision in your eyesight, He will restore. Father, if there's anybody here that something was removed from his body, restore that thing that was removed from that body. I command every form of affliction, from incurable fever, typhoid, malaria, yellow fever, or cerebral malaria, everything malaria, I kill it tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes. That sentence of hell that is manipulating somebody's brain, today I kill it in the name of Jesus Christ. I command pains on the leg to go. Amen. I command inability to see with clarity to go. Amen. I cause cataract to go. Amen. I cause every condition of the eye. Go, go, Amen. Go, go. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Movements in the body, I command you to cease. And I cause that implement to come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I cause pain. I cause ulcer. I cause asthma. Asthma, go. Asthma, go. Asthma, go. Ulcer, go. In the name of Jesus. Ah. Just begin to pray now. Begin to pray. Begin to pray. My Hosani. My Halabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabal
I command the sickness to go in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Also, hear me. Go in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father. Every blood condition, I come against you in the name of Jesus Christ. Now somebody is beginning to feel a heat on his body. That's a sign of healing. You are feeling a heat. A heat. A heat. Yes, it's flowing.
Now, I can sense now that there's somebody feeling something like many needles. It's as if many needles are piercing you. That's a sign of healing taking place now. God is creating the healing now. So just begin to give him thanks now. He's creating it. Begin to give him thanks right now. He's creating it right now. The pains of the head are going of their own accord. Give him thanks. Give him thanks. The condition of the stomach gives way now. Inability to sleep. You will sleep this night. You will sleep this night. Thank you, Jesus. We pray now. Now, there's one thing left before I run away. If you are here and you know, you are sure that you are healed, come. One, only one person. One. You are sure that you are healed, come. You are sure. Just one. Not more than one this time. Now, what was wrong with you? And what happened?
I have stomach pain. And as you are praying, I perceive something roll in my stomach and the thing moved.
Now, there's somebody that there was something like a movement in your body that left. Where are you? There was something like a movement in your body. You used to experience movements. Movement. That one, I saw it. Okay, come. I saw that. Wait. No, I'm not driving you. Come. What I'm saying is that beyond your healing, God wants to give you something else. That's why I say you should wait. Okay, ask him to give you what he wants to give. Ask him. Believe it in your heart. Moving.
Yes. I was during Christmas. I was cooking outside. I just have bullets.
Pop. That's what we call. You know, you have bullets in the natural.
Yes.
There's a reality that the closest natural relative in the spirit is bullet. So we cannot but call it bullet. But this bullet will not shoot you and you go. It shoots and is alive. The living bullet. If there's a bullet in your body moving. Now, her miracle will produce other ones like this. Now, if you are here now and there's a bullet, a mobile socks, things move in your body. Let me see your hand. All right. Can you stretch your hand in the direction of this woman and receive the reality that she received just now? By faith. Keep stretching till I tell you to drop it. Don't do guy and say, no, see. Stretch it. Now the power of God will come upon her because it will be coming, passing through her now. Father, in the name of Jesus, release upon this woman let there be a flow from her life into the congregation. The reality that brought deliverance to her, let it flow out. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, it has gone forth. You can drop your hand. Now, continue your testimony.
Praise the Lord. So, while I was cooking, I had a bullet here. Bam. So, I sat down. And I began to cast out.
Bakomena.
I cast out, though. I thought it is finished. But after 2 months,
yeah,
the thing came back again.
The bullet.
And on, I keep on ministering deliverance for myself. I didn't go to any minister. I keep on doing it to myself, and say. And this evening, I felt it again. As I enter here, I felt it again. I say, you must go. Before I go out of this place, you must go. And it's gone.
Put your hands together for me. Now, I saw that there was somebody that a weight was lifted from your head. A weight. Come. Now, if you notice, what I'm seeing is the reality. This is the manifestation. Because, give him the mic. What happened to you?
I was commenting. I was mentally disturbed.
Now, so please, give me for what? All right, talk inside.
I was mentally disturbed as you were praying for me. Things are just going out of my head.
He said he was mentally deranged. Now, when the prayer started, things started leaving his head. Coming now. Those things we call things are realities. Demonic realities. I command those things. If anyone is... Just in case anyone is still left, so that I can go out. Now, and then there are some other realities we need to transmit. Raise him again, let's transmit. When you take some things, you replace it with other things. Father, let the things of God, from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet, rest upon him. There's somebody in this hall, you used to hear voices. Can you put your hands together for the Lord Jesus? Somebody used to hear voices. And those voices are not from God, but you hear voices. And you are wondering why you are hearing voices. Come out. Come out. I will count to three. I will count to three. If you like it, stand up and come out. One. Two. You hear voices. They are under strong spiritual attack. There are people that are trying to kill them. Right? I'm seeing strange things, man. But you see, people are trying to kill them. But it's impossible. It cannot happen. You don't come here to die, come to live. Alright? I'm seeing two beings. That which seeks to contend with you, I contend with it.
Amen.
I contend with it. Go in this thy mind. I contend with it. I contend with it. I contend with it. Go in this thy might. I contend with it. I contend with it. I break its yoke. Its limitation, I remove. The battle is not yet over, but you receive strength from the Lord now to contend like a soldier, like a fighter, a warrior in the spirit. Go in this thy mind. Your own is different. Your own evil spirits are speaking to you. You know that there's something that you have done that you need to confess, but you confess to me, not to the congregation. So sit down on my seat. We'll talk later. No, don't go back. Clear chance for him to see. Yes, we are exalted. He's exalted, this man. All right, we can go. Okay. Yes, yes, yes. He's here. From here, stand up. We need to rescue somebody. Put your right hand on your chest and say, Lord, deliver me. And begin to pray. Begin to pray. Close your eyes. Don't be distracted. It's an emergency. Believe. Give me that sound. I need to fight now. I didn't plan to fight, but I have to fight. Now what is? There's one of you that is under a serious attack that God said we must fight for you. The hand of God will touch you and will overwhelm you. Raise your left hand up with your right hand on your chest. Father, tonight we ask you that person that is under attack here, let your spirit touch the person. Touch. Let the presence of God be strong. Let it concentrate around you. All right. Touch. Let it be stronger. Touch. Yep. Touch. Bring the person. Touch that life, so that we will know who to contend for tonight. Bring the person. Your battle has not finished. Stay here. Father, is there anybody left there? All right. You two have to sit on my seat. You can sit down, the rest of you. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Now, you see, where is Ruth? Ruth, call. Is it? Now, do you remember when this girl used to wear glasses? Those of you that went to BSU. You know, she used to put some glasses like that. And her eyes were as if it was injured. Did you take notes? Hey, we don't give testimony here, so. Now, the Lord healed this lady. She doesn't use those bottles on the eye. The reason why I brought her here is because if you are here with eye problem today, you can be healed. This one is a sign. Can you touch your eye? Touch it. If you have bottle, remove the bottle. Touch the eye, man. Remove the bottle. Don't say it's old age. Just touch. If you use bottle. No, don't touch and leave. Touch. Leave. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, behold all these ones with itching eyes, difficulties in seeing, blurred visions, pains on the eyes, a sandy feel in the eyes, short-sightedness, long-sightedness, astigmatism. Today, I bind every blinding spirit. I bind every blinding spirit. I command you, take your hands. In Jesus' name. I would like you to test your eye today, test it tomorrow. And then, if you see a change, meet us in the office. Okay? Sit down. No one among you, no member of your family will die this year. Hear me. Amen. Death is abolished. Amen. Even if the person is in a coma, we command that life come back in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and pray for your family in 2 minutes. 2 minutes. No death. No death. No death. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Every time Israel experienced an affliction that was not consistent with the covenant that they had with their ancestors, the recommendation of the prophets to the nation was that a solemn assembly had to be called. A solemn assembly is a meeting. It's a meeting where it's a meeting that is equivalent to a spiritual ceremony. A spiritual ceremony is a procession led by the Spirit that causes things to go on record in the realm of the Spirit. In the book of Genesis chapter 49, we find the man Jacob. He called all his children, and the reason for the meeting was that he wanted to tell them the things that will come to pass in their lives in the later days. That was a spiritual ceremony. Everything he uttered took effect because it went on record. It was not a prophetic meeting. He was not prophesying. He was releasing utterances that were going on record. A spiritual ceremony. Moses conducted that kind of a ceremony. And the things that he spoke about all the tribes of Israel became valid. In the first spiritual ceremony, Jacob cursed Reuben. In another spiritual ceremony, Moses said, "Let Reuben live and not die." He went on record and counteracted that which was written the first time. Friends, some of the manifestations we see today is an expression of some written things. And we need a spiritual ceremony to reverse some things that are written and to write out judgments that need to be executed. It's a solemn assembly. In the book of Joel chapter 2, there's a recommendation of how a solemn assembly should be held in order for things to go on record in the spirit realm. It's a meeting of territorial governance. And God will be doing some things in our midst tomorrow that will affect the territory. It's not for personal healing and deliverance. It's a day for family deliverance and the deliverance of the land from captivity. And every form of encroachment of the enemy that has been noted, there is a procession, a prophetic procession that has been designed to make several things go on record that will counter that which is speaking into the territory. But several things will go on record. Time might change, seasons might change, but those things will come to pass. Not because we prophesy, but because it's a spiritual ceremony conducted under the auspices of the Holy Spirit. Well, there are some times when you are conducting a spiritual ceremony, the Lord demands an oath of silence. For 7 days, they kept an oath of silence because it's a spiritual ceremony. You see, there is a procession in such a ceremony under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Those are the kind of meetings God can say, "Go and take sand outside." You see, this is witchcraft. It's the same way we take sand. If you don't believe in reality, don't come. Because I perceive that you are the first person that is going to persecute us. But we are not here because of you. We are here because of the Lord of Sabaoth that knows how to fight in the night and win the battle before daybreak. We have come to join forces with him. And anyway, he said, we will fight. Whether we will be fight by singing unto him. That's how we will see. But at the end of the time, something will go on record. Those people that have invaded Gwe West, they don't come there without putting things on record. And we are going to counteract every writing. Every handwriting of ordinance, it will be blotted out in the name of Jesus Christ. And just in case there's a pattern in your family, because some people wrote some things and died, but their writings are still valid. It's still being read by spirits and they are executing it. There's an angel with an ink horn. He will be positioned to write. A time will come in that meeting when the pavilions are open. We will ask you, say what you want to happen in your family. It might be open for 5 minutes. If you say, "God, this, our farm, what we enter the script is what? Farm. Now make sure you sharpen your mouth, because God will cause some things on it to go on record in the name of Jesus Christ."